Thank you, Jim. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know you all know that it is Father's Day, and usually I don't care what day it is that I preach about what the Lord puts on my heart. But we find these days that our family unit is under assault constantly, and being less and less the normal, to where it's not really the normal anymore that our family unit is it really even needed. Both fathers and mothers are both very important, but they both have a different role. I remember when our oldest son went to school, and in his class, out of 30, I think it was, there was 30 kids, I think he was only one of two that had the same parents. That's not very good odds. Kind of sad. But I believe that's one of the reasons why our country is in such the shape that it's in. And it seems to be getting worse every minute. What is the role of our fathers? I think for many in the world, they just think that they are sperm donors and pay child support. I work with quite a few people that have lots of children, different mothers. I think fathers are very important. For our sons, they are supposed to teach them to be the spiritual leaders of their household, to teach them how to deal with the things and problems that go along with this life, the image of our God. To our daughters, and even though I have no daughters, and though when I grew up I had two sisters, they are to teach them what to look for in a husband, as a soulmate. And our fathers and mothers only have a small window of opportunity. And after that, you fly solo. You know, I remembered, and it's been several years, that after I came back here after my father's funeral, I preached a sermon on honoring our fathers all the time. Not just once a year. And I think about when I grew up and how my father was. He worked 7 days a week. We didn't have church. We didn't go to church. Didn't know my God. But he taught me many things. I enjoyed going with him. A lot of times he'd go out and build roads and stuff for the bush. I had two older brothers. They despised my dad. And his ways. But he taught me many things. Not only how to solve problems, but also what kind of person to be as far as character. Now believe me, and I'm sure most of you can figure this out, we were no angels by any stretch of that imagination. Neither my brothers nor my sisters. Myself also. I know that's hard to believe, but he prepared us for life. Not so much different than our Heavenly Father. And you know, when my mother would say to us, "I'm leaving you for your father," fear would strike our hearts. Because we knew that the punishment would be severe. Not much different than our Heavenly Father. When he disciplines us, you know you've had a lesson. Fear became a real factor as we knew that we'd gone too far. I think of the scripture, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." I usually use a lot of scripture in my sermons, but not so much today. I would like you to go to the second chapter of Hebrews. Seventeenth and the 18th verse. "Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." I looked up that word, what succor means. Says to aid, help, give assistance to in time of need or distress. That's where we are at this moment. Don't get me wrong. That's not the only thing that a father does. We don't just dish out punishment. We try and teach our children how to solve problems of life. Now we see in the world that for most, you can't even punish your child anymore. Child abuse. But I want you to think about something else. I want you to go to the second chapter of Luke. And I want you to go to the 40th verse there. "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they came up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answerings. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? How would that go over with you? I don't think you'd be very happy about that, as they were. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He was subject unto him. He thought he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. Submitted unto them. He was probably right. But he was a child. You know, I think about that scripture in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. It says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. We're not any different. We are not any different. We learn the same way by those things that we suffer. And that 52nd verse, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You have to be the adult. Our fathers prepare us for the big league. What's the big league? First off, it's baptism. I didn't get there till I was 30. Neither did Christ. So I guess that's more than one thing that I have in common. You know, I stand at the back of the room many times, and I get to talk to quite a few people back there. And a young man, there was an adult, asked me, he says, I want to be baptized. I asked him one question. Why? Well, I want to be saved. It's one of the benefits, not the reasons. I said to him, I says, you're not ready. He was kind of mad. Just tell me what the right answer is, he said. Oh, want a shortcut? Just tell me what the right answer is. And I wouldn't. You have to know why it's important to you. We prepare our children for life and the decisions that they will have to make, and hopefully install the values in our children to help them make those decisions. The next big league for us old people is to live forever, preparing us for that next step. Where do you want to spend eternity? Choice and decision. And the choices don't get any easier. Even as you get older. I want you to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Seventeenth and 18th verse. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. A standard that is God's standard, my Father in heaven, my earthly Father. I never ever caught him in a lie or ever seen him tell one to someone else. To me, that fear of God lives in me. Because this I know, in Revelations 21:8, says this. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't really want to be there, living forever. Even the fearful and unbelieving and liars. Are that words you can live by? Our children don't have service manuals that come along with them. Fix them when they're broke. Only God has those manuals. I'm truly convinced of that. And each one is unique to that model. But our God helps us with those repairs. He gives us guidelines to follow. Even sometimes the instruction books, which I believe are right here. Our life is a learning curve. Even as adults, there are many like myself did not find our way until later in life. And even the men of God, their children didn't accept God. without first being brought to their knees. I think of Alma. And there's many others, even Adam, Cain. Some never did. Also, sometimes the worst thing we can do is compel our children to be baptized because they're 8 years old for our fears. And I believe in many instances that's what we do because of our fears. That God is not able. He is. And try and make my son's decisions for them. Wanted them to coax them in a different direction. It's what fathers do. Prayed for them daily. Still do. And the choices that they have to make, don't try and make them for them anymore because they are adults. My father told me many things when I was a young man. I heard him. I didn't do them for the most part. And one of them was, he said to me, he says, son, he says, make the best choice that you can with the most information that you have. If you find that you've made a wrong choice, all it means is it's time to make another choice with that more information. And I've made lots of wrong choices, believe you me. God does that with us. Just little information at the beginning and then a little more. And then more. And the ironic thing is that as a son, if you don't spend any time with him, you don't know him. Some ways I feel like I didn't spend enough time with my boys, but I didn't really want to spend that much time with me either. Wanted to teach him many things. And our Father in heaven is no different. If you truly want that relationship with him, it's important that you spend that time with him. He wants us to spend that time with him, that he can teach us those things that make us into his children. I hope and I pray that as a father, I do a better job, and that your children will desire to not only know your fathers, but also establish that relationship with your Heavenly Father, which I believe is crucial. I thank you for your time, and I pray that God will bless you and keep you, and that you have a wonderful Father's Day. Thank you very much.